In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, the epistle speaks about freedom and about slavery. Our country speaks of freedom a lot, but most people have no idea what the word means. St. Paul shows us what freedom means. Now, in this epistle of the Romans, it's right after his discourse on baptism, of which we read the greater part of it after a person is baptized. So right after speaking about baptism and how baptism is a baptism into the death of Jesus, and so as we were baptized into his death, so shall we walk in newness of life, and he goes over this point very carefully, then he says, Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Here we see freedom and slavery, because the word servant actually means slavery, slave in the Greek. Being made free from sin, you became a slave to righteousness. Of course, a willing slave, but nonetheless, someone who says he will serve righteousness. This is very important to understand. Our baptism has made us free. But it's made us free to become something. And if we do not become what the baptism has given us power to become, then we become again slaves. St. Paul thinks this is so important that he repeats it later on in this discourse. Look carefully in the scriptures. When you see something repeated, it's important. Sometimes things are repeated 2 and 3 and 10 times. Certainly in the overall scope of the scriptures, there are themes that are repeated hundreds of times. But within a particular passage, if you see something repeated, it's very, very important. So he says at the beginning of this selection, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And then he says, later on, now being made free from sin, you became servants to God. The same thing. So what is this freedom? This is freedom to become perfect. Because he says it. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. He is showing for us that there are two paths in life. Only two. There are not 3 or 6 or 10. There are two ways to live in life. Either yielding our members to righteousness or to unrighteousness. There is no in between. There is no middle. And St. Paul, of course, is very complex in how he writes, but very simple also. There are only two ways of life, of righteousness or unrighteousness. And he says, you can yield your members to one or to the other. Then he tells us, for when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Meaning, you're either free from one or free from the other. You're either a servant of one or servant of the other. If you serve sin, then you are, quote-unquote, free from righteousness, meaning you won't do it. If you serve righteousness, you are free from sin. Sin will not compel you. The reason our Lord became incarnate and suffered as a man and gave us the example is so that we would be strong enough with Him applying the power of the Godhead to the human condition, so that we could become free, truly free. Freedom is not doing what you want. I remember even as a teenager, listening to Jimi Hendrix, I thought, it's not right. He says, I can do anything I want to do. I thought, that's not freedom. And then I found out that he choked in his own vomit and died at 27. No freedom. Freedom is not to do what you want to do. Freedom is to do what is right. Now, when you do what is right, it becomes what you want to do. But freedom is to become good, to become perfect. St. Paul asks a question that you should ask every day, every moment, every decision you have to make. You should be asking this question. This is not a one-time question. This is a lifetime question. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are not ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That's a question you should be asking constantly. Because constantly you have decisions to make. Do I do this or do I do that? And sometimes the thing that you want to do, you know, really is not quite right. What is the fruit in doing something that is not right? There is no good fruit in it. There is rotten fruit. And the rotten fruit is that of death. So, this is the way we should consider our decisions in life. It's really very simple. Are we going to live for righteousness or live for unrighteousness? To be a Christian is not to espouse a creed. It is to live the creed that we believe. To be a Christian is not just to know facts about the Bible or about the services or about the typikon or to follow fasting rules. It is to live righteously because of these things. To believe them and to do them. This is Christianity. Because we are born for perfection. Scripture has many mnemonics in it. Everybody has different ones. I have, I don't know, a couple hundred probably, really. But certain scriptures you should remember. They should be engraved on your heart. Perhaps some of the ones here. The one previous to this selection in Romans 6, I remember. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. So you and I should consider ourselves dead. What are we dead to? Dead to sin. We're alive to Christ, but dead to sin. So a dead man should not be attracted to sin. That's how you should consider yourselves in regarding unrighteousness. Now, it doesn't always work. I mean, we still do things that are wrong. But if you have that mindset in you, that the purpose of your life is perfection, then when you are presented with the temptations of life, and it is in your heart that you realize, I am dead regarding sin. I am no longer a servant of death, of sin. I am a servant of righteousness. And it's good to think, it's unfortunate, actually, I think that so often it's translated servant. We have this kind of aversion to the word slave because obviously slavery can be a cruel and inhumane human institution. But really, the word is slave. You should consider yourself a slave, a willing slave to righteousness. A slave does not have a choice. The centurion knew this. He said, if he says something to his slave, do this, and he does it. But he also knew that about himself. That's why the Lord said he had such great faith, greater than he'd seen in Israel. Because the centurion, being a man under authority, knew how to follow authority. We are under authority. We are under authority of the benevolent King of the universe. And He gives us commands. Commands to do righteousness. They are not suggestions. They are not options. They are not for our consideration or to be noted. They are commands. And the reason He commands us is because there is no fruit in doing unrighteousness. It is only the way that leads to death. And He knows this, and we, to some extent, understand this. If we understand it perfectly, then we do not sin. And that's what some of the saints actually attained. To understand so completely that they were made dead to sin in baptism and alive to Christ, and therefore were slaves to righteousness and free regarding sin. That is, they could choose to not do it. They understood this so completely that they did not sin. A few. I believe St. Seraph of Sarov reached that point at the end of his life. Certainly the Most Holy Mother of God did. Certainly St. John, the theologian, did. He wrote about it. We have to have this mind in us, brothers and sisters. This life is temporal. Nothing lasts in this life. Everything goes away except what you become. The person you are is all that will remain. And what kind of person is that? A person yielding his members to righteousness or to unrighteousness? The apostle says, now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. This is the purpose of life. To have fruit unto holiness, to become holy. This is why you are here. Because with holiness comes wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is beyond all knowledge and more beautiful than anything we can even imagine. But this knowledge of God, this vision of God, can only be contemplated by those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And if your eyes are weak because of sin, you cannot look into the light. We see that evidence in Transfiguration, when the apostles could not bear seeing the Lord transfigured as He really is. They couldn't bear it. They were struck dumbfounded and fearful. But later on, they would be able to see that light because they struggled. And they struggled to be good slaves of righteousness. This is your purpose, brothers and sisters. We can see the fruit of it in the gospel reading for today in Cornelius. He was a man under authority. He knew to what it meant to be a slave. He knew what it meant to follow orders. And he knew what it meant to give orders. That is where his great faith was. So we must have this faith too. Let us follow orders. The Lord says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. So we are to call to perfection. This perfection begins with baptism, when we are made dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And therefore, if we are dead or free from sin, we are servants of righteousness. Live your life according to this, because it is the only life that you have. And if you don't live according to righteousness, then you live according to death. It's either or. Our world today wants to have lots of shades of gray and wants to de-dogmatize the Christian life and take virtue out of the Christian life. The Christian life without virtue is no life. It is a way of death. Let us live as Christians. It is a great privilege. Because if we struggle, now God will be helping us in this struggle. It won't be on our own. On our own we can't do anything. But if we struggle, we will have fruit unto holiness. And in the end, everlasting life. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.